خلاص عبرتي مسوكية أو ل recognize honorable Bumlani to honorable Hon honorable because someone wants to leave. Yeah, we'll take questions for a short while and then move on to the other one. Honorable Ma,
thank you, Chair. I just want to emphasize what you said earlier, that it is a very good presentation. Not only is the presentation good, the work seems to be going smoothly. However, I just wanted to put some points of emphasis in certain areas so that they can do even better. Unfortunately, I didn't hear about the language policies. Maybe I missed it in the course. As you may be aware, that people is still a foreign court. People are still are not happy in this. Courts when English is being used, they are isolated, they speak through an interpreter who doesn't actually say what they want. The policemen write statements in English, and they are not necessarily good in English either. And so they don't say what actually happened. So this justice is not seem to be done in that way. I just want you to point or to check on that. The question of security at courts you also raised, madam. I am shocked to say, at least the one in one instance in Willowvale, the court orderly was a man and a policeman. And the accused was taking out a knife, trying to stab the prosecutor, who was a lady. She had to fend for herself because the court elderly decided to run away. And all the men there went out for cover, including the magistrate and the lawyers. So I think that this matter you need to discuss with the SAPS to make sure that at least this doesn't happen. I'm afraid the processing of criminal cases is still very, very slow. There are quite a number of people who are in prison for a long time. And please do check that. And this contributes towards the overcrowding in prisons. The question of default judgments. You touched on it, but I think it's a very serious thing as far as people who are not, particularly people who are not the illiterate people, because it becomes a thing of the lawyers. They decide to summarily think that this, I mean, some of them, they don't even serve them correctly. Because the problem here, ma'am, is the problem of the messenger of the court, who does not know that she or he is a messenger of the court, thinks that is a messenger of the attorney, and acts like that. If the attorney says, go there, do this, she does that. There is no, also no report to the magistrate on what has happened, if they have confiscated some goods. There's no report at all, nothing. That goes to the magistrate. Her duties only ends, or the clerk of the court only ends when they issue a warrant of execution, and that's the end. They don't know what happened thereafter, and the person doesn't know for the first time, and the lawyers say, attach and remove, and her things, she just sees these things when they are being attached and removed from her, and she doesn't know what to do. Doesn't have money, and so on, and so that is why I say This is why I say, please check on that part, on the question of default judgments. And apart from that, I'm quite happy. Thank you very much.
Mamutapo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My colleagues, DG and her entourage. Let me start by appreciating the presentation, Honorable Chairperson, and sympathize with the DG for lack of action from the Department of Public Works, more especially on the CAPEX, capital expenditure item. I think, Chairperson, I propose that from our side we interact with our counterparts, Portfolio Committee on Public Works, on this issue, because it's really a thorn. It's long overdue. And again, on the issue of access to justice, DG, I personally not only refer to structural accessibility here, even in terms of usage of languages in courts, I think that should be considered. In most cases, we used to say that you'll find that in Mangweng, where I come from, all participants in the whole process speaking same language, but the proceedings being held in another language. I think that should be, I don't think it needs a lot of money per se. And then, again, let me commend the department for the handling of maintenance cases. I hear from most women that the process now is very, very effective. And in your presentation, you also make mention of that. That is very much appreciated. However, as mentioned by, I don't know whether it's the two presenters, the issue of respondents, lack of tracking of defaulters and respondents needs much to be desired. It's unfortunate. Certain women, during the heydays, they don't even know the people they are involved with. They only know that boyfriend of hers as Joe or Prapita. So I think in your advocacy programs, including the department, maybe you capacitate women, some women, to know that it is visible to know the man's ID. With due respect, Chairperson, the man's ID. Because through that, then she will be able to assist the department official to help her in whatever case, whatever request she will be looking for. But as I say, in heydays, you tend to forget, you don't even know his name, isn't it? Because they call them by certain names. So I think that should be very considered, really. And then the issue of case flow management. In some cases, you'll find that cases take a very, very long time to be finished. So communities start losing interest in our judicial system. So I think that should be looked into very, very seriously. And like my colleagues earlier on, the issue of third-party TPF funds needs much to be desired, because it's you in most cases the department generally gets a very satisfactory audit opinion, but that 1%, that one entity TPF, that one vote does make a negative impact on the department. So I think it's high time that maybe that should be attended to. And the disease estates also, especially for people in the rural area. I'm happy during your presentation, DG, you did mention that your department is considering also making that service practical as possible to nearer to rural communities, because really in most cases we'll find that our people are not even aware of what should be done, and magistrate offices being very, very far. Imagine from where I stay to Polokwane is about 30, the master's office is about 40 kilometers. So I think that should be implemented as far as practicable. Thank you, sir. Chairperson.
I recognize the Honorable Short in his absence. So before I come to you, allow him to speak. No, proceed. There are younger people there. No.
I'll be brief, Chair, and I appreciate that, and my apologies for being a few minutes late. And the question might have been asked already, but we noticed that the stats on the court statistics are not included in the report, and I think it might have just been an omission. We got the stats earlier this year, but I think it's very important for us to have the stats from the courts as to what is going on there, and I think it would be helpful to include that. DG, you briefly alluded to the state attorney's issue, but I think we need greater clarity because it's urgent now. And even in the previous parliament, we raised the issue of the state attorney. The first concern was expressed by Constitutional Court Judge Kate O'Regan in 2006. Then there was another judgment in 2008, Constitutional Court Dadla, he raised a concern. 2013, 2012, now we've got in September of this year a real concern by a judge who says nothing our courts have said appears to be heard by the minister or the department. So we need to know what is happening today, or do we need to go there? Because it seems it's an ongoing issue. And what makes it more serious now is that where previously I've never heard of costs being given de bonis proprius against a state attorney in their personal capacity. That has been done now as previously, but now the names of the attorneys are being withheld in the court documents, and the judge indicated that this seems to be a way of evading responsibility. Now, I appreciate that there is disciplinary action possibilities and all that type of thing, but there seems to be a systemic problem. And it's no good to say that it's been addressed. The state is the largest litigant in the nation. That's millions of rands. So that's the first issue as to when can we expect a report of a turnaround. Yes, Solicitor General, all that's the long term, but we need now. We need to know exactly from you what is happening. Then I also need to know, 61% success rate for the state attorney is commendable, but there's a large number of cases that are settled. And maybe you also need to get a report as to how many cases are settled, at what stage of the proceedings. In other words, is it just before the court day? In other words, then you're liable for costs, and how that process is being monitored. I'm not opposed to the settling of cases where you don't have a case, but it's often, when I was in transport, the Road Accident Fund, cases are notoriously settled on the court steps by the time massive amounts of costs are being implemented. And we know we're looking at a haircut now with the department, and this is an issue where I believe cost savings can be, we can have cost savings. So DG, otherwise, there's a lot of positive things here. In particularly, the fact of the EFT payments to third parties, that is phenomenal. That is exceptionally well done, that your EFPs, and that, because that decreases your corruption charges. There's a lot of very positive things from the report, but these are two issues that I'd really like to highlight. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Chair, one quick one, and that is just the Master of the High Court. Why is it not being transferred to the office of the Chief Justice? There might be a very good reason for that, but it seems is a logic, because it does form part of that, and I'd just like to know that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Lawn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I also want to say that in terms of the annual report and the presentation here, one has appreciation for progress made in certain respects. So the questions asked and the criticism raised must not be seen as only that. Chairperson, firstly, I want to address the issue of the Office of the Chief Justice, and it was mentioned here that despite it being announced to be a separate government department and intended to have its own vote come next year, that what was said is infrastructure will stay with the Department of Justice. And I'd like to maybe just have an explanation. Previously we heard that a draft paper was to be developed on the model for the administration of the OCJ as an autonomous institution. So I'd like to hear whether that draft paper has indeed been developed and accepted. And then, Chair, I think we as a committee must maybe say that we had Jeeks here earlier this week, and the one thing I think one left with after their presentations was that if the umbilical cord between, in their case, the Department of Correctional Services, is not completely cut, then you ultimately set yourself up for problems. And I heard you say that there is a big, a great appreciation for the fact that one, both of you will have to tread carefully going forward. But to my mind, to keep the infrastructure at the Department of Justice may create problems. Then, Chair, secondly, in terms of the insolvency policy, earlier this year when we were briefed, it was indicated that apart from addressing racial transformation in terms of the policy, there will also be a drive to overhaul the whole system, specifically in respect of a complaints procedure for people who feel that the liquidators or curators in their estates have not dealt with them properly. So I'd like to maybe receive an update on that. Then, Chair, in terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there's a bit of a problem I sit with. In the annual report on page 94, it is stated that disciplinary action is now taken in terms of labour relations procedures against employees who are responsible for irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But then on page 6 of the AG's presentation to us, one of his criticisms against the department was that in fact there was no improvement and no disciplinary action being taken against the offending officials. So I think we should get some clarity on that, and if there indeed has been disciplinary action, quite possibly detail as to in relation of how much of these irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Chair, in terms of the third-party funds, I think the Honourable Swart is quite correct to say that the EFT payments is a big step forward. I must say that you also alluded to the fact that recently there's been huge frustration on grassroots level in my constituency. I've been called by quite a number of recipients who complained that it takes a lot of time for them to receive the EFT payments. But given the fact that this is a big step forward to also curb corruption, I appreciate the efforts being made. I want to maybe get an indication, because this is the one big blot on the audit outcomes of the department still, insofar as if it was not deemed as a separate entity, it could have quite possibly led to a bad audit outcome or opinion for yourselves. And it's now been the case since forever. So, and the AG also seems to be of the opinion that the processes in place will not necessarily turn that around. So what additional measures will be taken to turn that around? Then, Jay, I want to make the comment and maybe if we can get the DG's response, to say that I don't think it's really proper for them now to say that they've turned around the situation in terms of the payment of creditors. For the simple reason that there's a decrease in the outstanding 30-day creditors from 492 million in the 11-12 financial year to 9 million in this financial year. But the other side of the coin is that now for the first time it's also reported that the department underspent by 475 million. So to my mind it seems to be a bit like robbing Peter to pay Paul. If there was no underspending, then there would have virtually been no capacity to really curb the outstanding creditors of more than 30 days. So I think the department still needs to address that situation in real terms and not in theory only. And then, Chair, you must maybe also give me some guidance. I have questions on the integrated justice system, but there has been a request by the DG that they want to come and maybe brief us in full on that. And if our program will allow it before the end of the year, then I'll leave my questions for now, but otherwise I want to ask them.
Thank you, Chair. Just to continue to commend the DG on really managing to hold the fort and getting things getting better and better in the department. Much appreciated. Looking at the information that actually demonstrates so much of good that has taken place, decrease in accruals from 492 million to only 9 million, that's commendable. The fact that you've managed to really conclude the process of disaster recovery solutions, that also is something much to be commendable for. Freezing orders of 1.3 billion rand, it's a lot of money. One thing that I just need to have clarity on is in terms of maintenance. I will start with maintenance. I've actually earlier indicated when I was responding to the stakeholders what the concerns are all about, what we've been hammering on all the years. If you can just comment about it. I'm not going to repeat what was said earlier in terms of coming up with measures that would actually ensure that we don't have such problems continuing in South Africa. And then also the TRC money and Kulu money. My impression was that we were done with the TRC process. I think the last report was actually indicating that the remaining money was for people who could not be traced. So why is this now resurfacing from Kulu money? If you can just explain to us as to where we are in terms of the process, because I thought this was done and closed and we're not going to actually manage to be communicating about it anymore. And then in terms of third party funds, the AG's report, page number 5, which is the this report, I don't know whether you've got the copy. It actually comes up with recommendations as to how you can deal with the third-party funds problems, which I think if you probably follow this, then even yourself, the next time you come, we'll be talking a different language. It won't be this continuous problem that goes into every year. I don't know. I don't understand quite clearly why would it be difficult for people to reconcile figures. See, when you work with figures, CFO, it's a matter of pulling together the figures, unless there's something that is wrong that is happening. And I would say that as much as at some stage we have said to you, go and babysit SCA when it had a crisis, go babysit a third-party funds. which means it's about building capacity around this to make it work. And if there are any disciplinary measures that needs to be taken, next time when you come, you need to say this and that has happened, and this is the kind of disciplinary measures that were actually put in place. Still on the same report of the Auditor General, in terms of supply chain management findings, it's good to realize that there were no findings that relates to, or there were findings that relates to supply chain management, but effective and appropriate disciplinary actions were taken against the officials, because this is what the Public Finance and Management Act actually dictates. Even if I can see in some of the other structures that actually become part of your budget vote, such steps have not been taken. We will actually take this up with them when they come before us, like the Public Protector Special Investigation Unit. If you can also, DG, indicate as to how far we are with the construction of the High Court, the Gauteng South. South Gauteng, yes, High Court. Because you remember the worry was that the delay was actually making costs to escalate. So what is of interest to me is to know how far you are, whether the costs are still continuing to rocket because of the delays that are actually taking place around the whole issue of the courts. And then in terms of the register for sex offenders, the recommendation was that you should have one register with social development. You haven't actually indicated what the position is now. I am interested to know where we are in terms of that process of reconciling the two registers. Also, if you can indicate, I could see you've got quarterly reports, but I haven't really managed to pull them together to understand exactly where we are in terms of spending for this current financial year. Because we are like almost over 50% of the time for the current financial year. If you can just give us some idea as to where we are in terms of spending so that we should actually know what to anticipate. It will give us an idea as to whether we are, our spending is in line or not. Now that we are with correctional services, I think it's good that we now manage to do this, to say to you, when it comes to correctional services, the biggest problem is remand detainees. And I think moving forward, also from your side, you need to actually come up with programs that would actually help to assist with the big population of remand detainees so that we can actually consciously assist the department, the correctional services, to actually manage to deal with the problem of, with problems of this nature. One of the problems that they're actually alluding to is the court roll. That it's court rolls that are actually making it impossible for this problem to be alleviated. And I'm sure from your side you can actually help to manage to facilitate this. You indicated cluster performance. Which actually looked at high conviction on cybercrime and crime and corruption. But my take is that you should actually also infuse into cluster performance issues of border control, service delivery protest, civil disobedience, which is what we are actually grappling with now. In order for us to actually manage to come up with a situation where we can be in the position to say, yes, we have all of this in control, because these are what you can actually call sore points that have got to do with the same cluster. And the last one is that as a country, we are still facing the triple challenge of poverty, unemployment, and inequalities. I wonder whether you would be ready now to actually indicate how you, from your side, are actually managing to help fight the triple challenges that actually have within it unemployment and creation of jobs. Thank you.
No, honorable members, I think there are some amongst us who want to use democracy or the freedom of speech to destroy the freedom that we are enjoying by spreading lies, distorting facts, because I can understand why someone can write an article and accuse government for keeping the money that is due to the victims of apartheid away from those victims and wanting to spend them otherwise. Because these are the type of things that create unnecessary tensions in society. I think we need to, as this committee say, that our doors are open. The government or the Department of Justice accounts to us. If people have information that there's something untoward, I think they should approach us and give us the facts. Because the moment you write an article, you say the President Fund, where is the money for apartheid victims actually going? Already you have sent a message that there's some kind of a misappropriation or maybe laws of defamation also have been suspended. But I think that as this committee, maybe we need to communicate to the public and say if people have information that something is not going right in government, let them bring this before us. We will investigate and deal with the matters. But if we go about throwing accusations in the eyes of the public, we are actually tarnishing the image of a government and a democracy that people sacrifice their lives and their children. So I hope we'll have an opportunity to deal with that. I'm referring to this article, the President Fund, where is the money for apartheid victims actually going? But these are very negative things that just want to disparage everybody as if nothing is working in this country. And that's not the case. Any other?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the questions. And there would have been those questions that we also did not respond to during the presentation itself. One of those very specific ones is the one related to the request that was done to our department by SWET. I will go back and check what actually happened, but the responses, it was responded to inadequately, so I will check on what transpired there. Let me start with these questions, the ones that have just been raised, and then I'll go back to the balance. My colleagues will assist me naturally. So Dr. De Vere will respond to the issue of the language policies in courts, and I think it comes up three or four times. So he will respond to that. Excuse me. Insofar as the issues of security in courts, the number of our courts is increasing. The nature of crimes in our courts is also increasing. I said a little earlier in the presentation that in the past year we were battling quite severely with Nyaube and Wonga. Drugs, the interventions by the presidency around drugs, and we find that those courts that are dealing with those cases, we are seeing a lot of attacks associated with the cases. So obviously, ordinarily, we ought to increase security, but resources do not allow us to do so. But we are quite aware of that, and let me say that. Insofar as our relationship with SAPS in relation to the court orderlies that they provide us with, Obviously, I think in this particular case, it was a specific incident. If we have had a problem, we have dealt with it between ourselves and SAPS often orderly. But in this particular case, we will take the issue up again with them. I do not think that the orderlies necessarily are there to protect the totality of the court, but certainly they need to be able to be aware of what might expose the court whilst the court is in session. So I will raise it within the parameters of SAPS. In terms of the cases being very slow in our courts, I will be the first person to concede to that, which is why I think we've been receiving a lot of observations from the South African public that when you have certain particular cases, they move a lot faster in the system, and then other cases never move from the system. It's something that we are concerned with. It's something that when we spoke about the case flow management that the judiciary is in charge of, this is one of those areas that are going to move to the judiciary, and hopefully they will perform better than how this matter has been dealt with previously. I agree on the issue of default judgment. I can only offer that in our engagements with the Sheriff's Board, it's an issue that we will again put on the table for discussions, so that at least in part of the courses that they offer, the Sheriffs, we could include how they deal with illiterate defendants. So both that and the report back to the magistrate, I will raise it with the Board of Sheriffs in addition to what we could do in the department. Then in relation to the Department of Public Works and CAPEX and how we could be assisted, we will truly appreciate the assistance the committee could assist us with. We do have a good collegial relationship, I must add, between ourselves and Public Works, but at process level, when it comes to expenditure, it does become a problem. And I do think that because Department of Public Works has been undergoing their own restructuring for the past 2 to 3 years, obviously we've been suffering as a result of that. But and that's all we can say insofar as that is concerned. But I really would like to link that, what I've just said, to the question the Honourable Member asked around the expenditure or the payments in terms of accruals, where he says we are down to 9 million, as our report shows. But if we had paid the 479 million that we did not pay, that we would have been broke, basically. I think there is some element of truth in that, but the two amounts are unrelated, because the 479 million is made up of 379 or thereabout, which is money that was designated and call it ring-fenced for building courts, as well as 120 million for DCRS contract, the court recording system, which was not procured. So those monies were specific for just those two projects. So regardless of that, it would not affect the accruals. But I'm saying it is partly true, because indeed, if you look at our total accruals relative to what we have as OPEX, our operational budget is actually extremely strained. And if everything was paid, I agree with you, we will be in problems. And if you read our annual report of last year and the previous year, we say that as such. So I agree with the observation, albeit I do not agree with the link between 479 and 9 million. Maintenance, how long will it take us to sort this problem in relation to TPF? Let me say this. I can't give you the exact time and say it will be next year or the following year. I can tell you specific interventions and the timelines for each of the interventions. I spoke about us having been in the process of finalizing the contracting for the system, the TPF system, and we said that will take between once the system has been procured, it will go to development, and obviously that will take probably about 8 months to a year. And once we start loading information, we are looking at another 12 months or so, which is why we said we are looking at the outer bracket of about 24 months, 18 to 24 months, before we start having a system churning information for us. So that is just specifically related to the system. In terms of how we had planned our capacity, the human capacity in the courts, we had said for the next 3 years we are going to be increasing capacity in the courts in the following sense, that the capacity that we are going to be bringing into courts will be specifically dealing with the financial aspect. You would recall that when we reported last time, we said each court is writing its own annual financial statements and monthly statements now, something that we had never done before. And that in itself is going to take time, because some courts are at different capacity levels. Others are doing that now almost easily, but others it's a big struggle because obviously of capacity. So that process in itself is going to take us at least another good 24 months if you were to align it with the report. Training is ongoing for TPF, but what I might want to share with this Honourable House is that part of our EXCO resolution is that each one of us as EXCO members, we must spend time visiting courts, but we've also encouraged regional heads and those structures in the regions to visit each court so that they can see the level of development, because some courts are doing superb. You don't even have to think of going there, but other courts are really, really battling. So to then say we will be done, I can tell you that my personal desire is that by the end of this financial year, we shouldn't have this problem. But realistically, we are giving ourselves 24 months. Maybe let me link that question to the question that was asked, whether, in fact, when you talk about what is the difficulty in doing reconciliations on a daily basis and on a monthly basis, as the AG has said. I had already said we are very strained in terms of capacity, because until perhaps last year, the people who are doing TPF were also doing everything else in the courts. So obviously, from a capacity standpoint, it was just not practical to do it all the time. So as we generate the capacity of TPF and so to speak ring-fencing it, we are beginning to see that the reconciliations are beginning to happen. It is not impossible to do it. We are encouraging everybody to do it, and we will be doing it going forward. But certainly our levels of development are somewhat slightly different. I'm not going to try and answer every question, Chair, because I'm conscious of your time, but I'd like to assure honourable members that insofar as the issues of the Office of the Chief Justice moving and the infrastructure being left behind, that is a question of a policy nature, because ultimately it is the responsibility of the executive to ensure that justice services are distributed throughout the country. Therefore, they make a decision of where the next court is going to be, because that's where the people say the court is going to be, because people talk to them as executive relative to the people talking to the judiciary. Actually, people never talk to the judiciary. They talk to the executive in their political space for the executive to deliver the court. That is the policy principle behind that. Whether it's correct or not, I hold no view, but that's the policy principle behind that. Now, the issue of daily maintenance and that type of thing, there are already delegations that are delegated to officials on the ground. And naturally, those officials on the ground who are moving to the office of the Chief Justice will carry those delegations, will continue with those delegations of limited maintenance on a day-to-day basis. But the actual responsibility of constructing courts and renovating courts will still be the responsibility of the Department of Justice as a policy department. Whether can Chairperson, just for a limited period, may I spend time rather dealing with the issues of the state attorney? I will not answer every question. I'll just focus on those because I feel the pain and the emotions around that. The issue of the state attorney, let me first accept responsibility and say it has been the responsibility of my department, therefore myself, but it has been the responsibility of my department and my predecessors to invest in the state attorney. We cannot expect a function that we have not invested in to give us wonders. When we came here to this Honorable House, we said we wanted to invest in finance. You can see the results of finance. We said we wanted to invest in the Chief Family Advocate. You see the results. We said we wanted to invest in improving courts. You see the results. We have not said to you we wanted to invest in the state attorney. It's only last year and this year that we said now we want to invest in the state attorney. Unfortunately, that underinvestment, or in this case, lack of investment for years. I mean, I've been in the department for 4 years, and we've only started in the last year. And there were people before me since 1994. We have never invested in the state attorney, quite honestly. What we are getting is what we put out there. It's coming back to us. Having said that, though, I would like to assure honorable members that even as we say we want to start investing in the state attorney, we do not have bags of money where we are going to just take all the money. So we have had to go and cut from other directorates and branches to be able to find some money that we can invest in the state attorney. So that is the first issue that I think we want to put as a proposal to the honorable members. Secondly, I chair a whole range of committees now related to the state attorney in relation to some but not all departments. Department of Home Affairs, Department of Health, Department of SAPS, or the South African Police Service, where the biggest problems relating to these cases where courts have commented adversely against the state attorney, so that we can see what we can do that is doable without adding money. And in those instances, indeed, we are beginning to see that the culture is beginning to change there. But certainly we can't cover everybody necessarily. Now, thirdly, the question whether cases are being resolved at the doorsteps, there is a combination of that. And let me, one, we are trying to solve cases before, in other words, settle cases before they go to court. But our clients, the clients of the state attorney, who generally are government departments, would want to fight the matter until they have no other option but to settle. And part of these meetings that I've just spoken about is to try and get the accounting officers of those departments to give us standing settlement powers so that we can settle if we feel a matter needs settling because we do not have adequate evidence and whatever else in between. And that is what we are trying to do. I said we're doing that with Home Affairs now. We are doing that with SAPS. We are doing that with the Department of Health. Perhaps the Department of Health to a lesser degree, but certainly these other two departments. We started with SAPS about a year ago. We started with the Department of Home Affairs about 2 months ago now. Then obviously issues of disciplinary processes, we are dealing with those. Those are, for me, the least of the problems. What is the fundamental problem in the state attorney's environment is capacity. Now, I said a little earlier, maybe I went a little too fast, that we have a big problem of OSD in the state attorney. I've been talking about state OSD all along. But in the state attorney, what this means is that you have a whole range of junior attorneys and junior attorneys, but you don't have anybody senior because you can't fill the LP10 positions. So whether you want to go and buy more junior positions because at least you have capacity to do that, the difficulty is even if you do that, they are not going to be supervised by anybody. And while this thing is embargoed, there is nothing we can do. We are engaging regularly as late as Monday this week, engaging to try and get the system opened so that we can appoint senior attorneys who can supervise junior attorneys. So when courts are complaining, they are genuinely correct. I do not feel bad when they hammer us or when they hammer the state attorneys. I only feel bad when individuals are hammered. But having said that, I have also hammered a lot of individuals where I felt that there was absolute neglect. We've even reported them to the Law Society where we felt there was neglect. Now, I am not condoning neglect here. I am saying indeed there are those people who are absolutely neglecting their responsibility, but they are not so big in number. The bigger number is people who are absolutely thoroughly overworked and therefore cannot apply themselves to the fullest as we expect them to. And so when I said there is work that is happening behind the scenes, we've had at least three workshops where we spoke about issues of policy of how when a new attorney walks into the department, how they should be orientated, what they should do, what systems should they have, going as far back to basics as how do they diarize files and all of that, because one of the biggest problems that the courts have spoken about is that attorneys don't know what's happening in their files. And I can only attribute to that problem to not keeping a proper diary for files. And that is what we've then been working on. But in addition, we've been working on the writing. We've gone back to those basics of how do they write their own pleadings, how do they read files, how do they prepare to brief counsel, how do they interact with counsel. Because in as much as, and I'm not blaming anybody here, but in as much as we are losing cases badly, please remember, good people, that state attorneys very rarely appear in court on their own. So where are these professionals in managing these files and in dealing with these matters? In part, I think there are other people who must take responsibility because someone is appearing for us. When they don't see a notice of set down in the file, where do they think the notice is? So I do think that there is a bigger responsibility from the profession to ensure that the cases succeed in court. And indeed, the state attorney obviously will take about 90% of that responsibility. And if that 90% of the responsibility doesn't come to the party, indeed we are going to have a problem. But I can assure the Honorable House that it's something that we are not just dealing with when we prepare to come here. If you went through our ex-co minutes, you will pick up all the interventions that are being done at ex-co level. And we meet as ex-co twice a month, every Monday without fail. We meet so that in part we discuss the operational issues of facing the department. So those are the issues that I just thought I'll highlight. The rest of the issues, my colleagues, especially the language policy, others we may provide answers differently if we no longer have time, Chair. Thank you very much.
Chair, thanks very much, and thanks, DG. Just on the language policy, the department takes the issue of language policy very seriously. So seriously that we ran pilots in a few courts on language policy. And the findings thereof is that the implementation of all 11 official languages can work, especially in the lower courts. However, for the findings of our pilots to be implemented, it will require the amendment of the Magistrates Court Act of 1944, particularly Section 6, which currently prescribes that English and Afrikaans should be the only official languages for usage in court proceedings. Work is being done to amend the Act. There will be a Judicial Matters Amendment Act that I think there will be an interaction with both Cabinet and this committee. Section 6 will be replaced with an enabling provision for the rules to be made by the Rules Board to regulate the use of all official languages in court processes and proceedings. We estimate that it will take approximately 18 to 2 years for this process to be finalized, and the department intends providing the Rules Board with the necessary capacity in this regard. And then the issue of security, the DG has dealt with, and she's correct in saying that unfortunately the levels of crime far outstrips the budget provisions of the department. I also just need to indicate that on the issue of court stats, and I think we will try and provide statistics in terms of a formally submitted report. But we just like to warn that the transfer of high courts took place based on the provisions not only of the Constitution, but also on the various provisions of the Superior Courts Act. One of those provisions, and I think it's Section 8 of the Superior Courts Act, does say that the Chief Justice will take responsibility for managing all judicial functions in all courts, both higher and lower. And part of those judicial management functions include court performance. So we just want to alert the committee that from the 1st of April 2015 onwards, it will be the Department of the Chief Justice that will be submitting reports on case backlogs. In fact, I'm aware that as we speak, the Chief Justice has set a National Efficiency Enhancement Committee in which he interacts with various stakeholders on case flow matters. And that national structure now have provincial chapters as well. That was the same led by the various judges' presidents. So I thought that I needed to indicate that, and the Department of Justice has already provided some capacity in this regard to enable the Department of the Chief Justice to perform this function. There was a question raised, why is the Master of the High Court not transferred to OCJ? The Master of the High Court was certainly not in the agreement between the Minister and the Chief Justice. I think the judiciary for now was just happy to have High Courts transferred to the judiciary. However, like the DG, there's a matter that I also feel strongly about and in which I get kicked from time to time. And this is a matter of the implementation of the recommendations of the TRC. A question has been asked, whether are we not finished and therefore the money that remains is only for the people who could be found. I think that statement is partly true in a sense that there were 4 recommendations that were adopted by both Cabinet and Parliament. And the 4 were, 1, urgent reparations, in which 22,000 people were identified to receive 30,000 rand as tokens of appreciation. 2, there was a recommendation on symbols and monuments that led to the construction of Freedom, the changing of street names and so on. 3, there was a recommendation on mental benefits and other forms of social assistance. And fourthly, there's a recommendation on community rehabilitation. So Honorable Majeke is correct when she says that, we are done on urgent reparations. All the people that we are supposed to pay, most of them and be paid, I think we are left with about 12, but 12 who are no longer in the country, they are all over the world. And their whereabouts all over the world are not very clear. So that money has been kept until they surface. On symbols and monuments, it was led largely by the Department of Arts and Culture. On medical benefits and other forms of social assistance, on basic and higher education in particular, the department is done with regulations. We have submitted regulations through our minister to the presidency. We are currently consulting with the presidency. The presidency has been concerned about whether and possible legal challenges in this regard. We have provided two legal opinions in this regard that says go ahead. So I think the matter should be finalized soon. The DG has clarified the question on health, that the Department of Health, we have finalized regulations on our part. Unfortunately, implementing those regulations required that the National Health Act should be amended. So the Department of Health is busy with that. Housing is work in progress. We are working with the Department of Human Settlements and so on. But the phase we are on is a phase on community rehabilitation. The DRC recommended that projects should be initiated, projects or programs should be initiated that will contribute to the healing of 128 communities identified in TRC reports. So we have begun the process. The one thing that we have done that arises from the article that Kulumani fed to Daily Maverick is needs analysis. We have prioritized 18 communities. We have done needs analysis. In Gauteng, we have operated in Alexandra and Mamelodi. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have done work in Bambai and Pupumeni. In the Free State, we have done work in Tumahule and Thabong. And this past week, we have just commenced work in Limpopo. In Phalaborwa, township of Lulekani, we are going to do work there, as well as in Gamatlala village, next to Polokwane. So that work is continuing. The question is, what is Kulumani complaining about? In that article, they make a number of points. At least I'll go 2 to 3 major points. One is that they accuse the department of having excluded victims of apartheid. Now, I'm not sure what they mean by victims of apartheid. They're probably referring to people who have been declared victims by the TRC. But they have claimed over years that they have anything in their database ranging from 45,000. Now, the latest figure is 90,000. Now, every time we ask for this database, we have not been given. So we can't vouch for that. However, the work on initiating projects and programs in communities had to proceed. And the money that we are using for needs analysis is not from the president's funds. I need to emphasize. It's money from the budget fund that the DG dedicated for the needs analysis to proceed. The law does not allow us to use the president's funds without regulations. And that is why, in January of this year, the department published regulations for public comment. Everybody in the country was given an opportunity to make a comment, including Kulumani. And having received those comments, on the 26th of September, we have convened workshop for all stakeholders. We invited communities that have already established steering committees in this regard, including members of civil society, who include Kulumani. Kulumani, in fact, requested our DG that they need to invite 22 people to that workshop. And we agreed because we wanted sufficient representation from Kulumani. In our view, the workshop proceeded well. Everybody was frank. We left the workshop thinking we found one another. We are just surprised that 2 weeks later, there's an article saying we have plans to plunder resources of government. In fact, the article goes further to say that we are in a conspiracy as a department to make up for the shortfall of the municipal infrastructure grant. And I'd really like to thank the Director General because it's like she had foresight that this article would surface, because when we started the workshop, she insisted that a financial report should be presented. Not only was a financial report presented, people were there, were given copies of the reports, of the President's Fund's financial report. So we are pleasantly surprised about the allegations made. But maybe, as the chair says, they'll probably have to be given an opportunity to come and explain. And I just need to make one point clear. There's the Dr. Jobson, make a reference to the people of Mpopomeni. And the way it came out, really, it didn't come out very well. She says in the article that the people of Mpopomeni want a community center when they already have one. And it goes to show that this thing, we are now busy creating structures that are not going to work. Now, I need to say for the record, that is not correct. It's factually incorrect. The people of Mpopomeni have never asked for a community center. What they have asked for is a further education and training college. That's what they have asked for. We have since discussed with the municipality. They have said that maybe FET may be expensive. We can even look at the possibility of a skill center if FET is college. But they have never asked for a community center. So I just wanted to put that on record. Thank you very much.
Maybe we get a full report on the TRC process, where things are, because it can also create other tensions within communities. For instance, you refer to Lulekani. Lulekani, which was established by a Bantustan leader, who was collaborating with the apartheid government. And there are other communities which were resisting that. And unless those communities are taken on board, they understand what were the criteria for selecting that one, then it may create other problems. And this is such a serious matter that see, if we have information, we can get members of parliament where these projects are taking place closer to those things, so that it's not yourself left alone defend these things, because other people use this as campaigns against government, and as officials, there's no way you can succeed to do that. But let politicians have information, and then they can be your foot soldiers to deal with this matter. But with this question of magistrates, does the Act of 1944, doesn't the fact that the Constitution recognizes 11 languages by implication nullify that thing? As Honorable Mutapa was saying, if people get to a court in Mangwe, and the prosecutor speaks Pedi, the magistrate speaks Pedi, and the people insist that they're not going to use English or Afrikaans, will you close the court or you will proceed in those languages? So I just want to give you that homework, that some of the things, I think, we don't really have to wait for the law to change. There's an objective situation on the ground, and we must just respect that situation. But I guess you want to be professional and not behave like activists. But they look into that matter. Now there's also the question of paralegals. I think the sooner you bring this matter, the legislation towards the better, because it's really at the heart of access to justice. So let's just speed it up. But another problem is someone wrote an article to say actually 46% of the people understand the Constitution. Now, if that is correct, and we say we are a constitutional democracy, a constitution that is not understood by the people, where are we going? I know that you know, you have a structure, for instance, called the Moral Regeneration Movement, which says it is promoting a charter for positive values. But if you look at those things, they boil down to constitutional values. Now the question is, who is better placed to drive this education on constitutional values and human rights? Arts and culture, or COCTA,
or yourselves. Maybe you should relook at that, because I don't think that they do good justice to this thing. I remember also the social cohesion and nation building summit declaration is driven from arts and culture. But I have nothing against them, but I think they are very good at events. But this one is a little bit different. Maybe it should be located somewhere. I see a hand over there.
Thanks, Chair. I could also just add to a few other questions. On the default judgments, indeed, we've picked up that there's a lot of fraud going on in the courts. And this was as a result of the warning that the portfolio committee gave us. So we have established a unit that we call quality assurance. They've been to a few courts where they found that there are clerks that are working with some firms of attorneys, you know, that are actually paying them for all these default judgments where people have consented to different jurisdictions without knowing that. We've actually have somebody that has confessed, you know, that they were given a credit card. They are actually on the, they're getting a monthly stipend from these attorneys. So the team is actually now working, we're establishing similar teams in the various provinces. So that where we have unusual default judgments coming from other jurisdictions issued out there, we actually go in there to investigate. So it's something that we are looking into. The second thing on REMS, you will recall, Chair, that a few years back we started modifying the courts to make them accessible to people with disabilities, where we put up REMS and rails. Unfortunately, the project came to a halt because of the differences between DPW and its implementing agency, IDT. They have now since resolved the differences. We now have on stream again about 136 courts that, you know, were outstanding that we will put through to ensure that they become compliant in terms of being accessible for people with disabilities. With regards to South Gauteng, the project is on track. The delays that really occasioned the project are largely one, that the users kept on making additional requirements whilst the project was under, you know, execution, you know. And so that requires that we have variation orders. But the second delay was caused by the fact that the building had to comply with new regulations that relate to fire, escapes and that sort of thing. The tentative date that we have for completion is December 2016, if all things, you know, go according to the plan. Thanks.
Chairperson, I'm happy, Chairperson, you have already responded to the language issue. So, may I kindly, I left one question regarding courts, which in most cases caught fire. So, in terms of your investigation, what might be the problem? Because it has developed into a trend. I remember in Bulawayo, then Pretoria, and it's spreading now. So it means there is something somewhere. Something fishy is happening. So what corrective measures as the department are in place to rectify that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start with the court fires. There are three things that are coming out. The first, in relation to Pretoria, as an example, Pretoria Magistrates Court, the age of the court, the size of the population now in the court was never designed. The court was never designed to deal with that size of population. Obviously, the electrical wiring and all of those things, the court has grown, and yet that infrastructure has not grown on the ground. And obviously, parts of these institutions are built from heritage sites, and therefore you can't do too much to it, which is why it has taken this long in part to bring it back to operation. And I think it's due to come on stream around 2017 or thereabout. Similarly, in the Bulugwane match court, if you had been there physically, you would have seen some of those things, that the whole construction in the first place, the ceilings and all of those things, it would never have been possible to stop the fire once it had started in one place because of the manner in which it was built. So those are but some of the questions. The source of the fires, at least in the few reports that we've received, link it to the wiring. I think it's the only court that we know it wasn't burnt because of that. It's the court somewhere in KZN in Kanyezi and the Bulugwane, where the outcomes of the investigations, especially the one in Kanyezi, the outcomes of the investigations was some level of negligence with the electricity that would have caused a fire. But the rest of them, it's just age of the infrastructure. Then, Chair, I just wanted to deal with two issues very quickly, and so that we do not leave them untouched. The merger of the sexual offences register with the child protection register, that project is ongoing behind the scenes between ourselves and social development. It does look like there's a lot more work that needs doing before we are able to merge the registers. We are all in agreement that we should, but the compliance requirements in each register are somewhat different, and to tidy them up and to make them to work together is proving to be a little bit of an issue. But as I say, it's work that is being done. So we will come back and brief the portfolio committee in specific terms on the project. What programs are we doing on remand to ease the pressure on correctional services on remand detainees, specifically relating to court roles? Indeed, Chairperson, as a Department of Justice, issues of court roles, our minister can only appeal to the prosecution's authority because they are the ones who deal with court roles and all of those things. We as a department don't do that in specific terms. So it's something that, however, minister has indicated that we do need the prosecution's authority does need to deal with those issues. I guess it will be the same appeal that will be made to the judiciary insofar as case flow management is concerned, so that those people do not wait forever in the correctional facilities as awaiting trial detainees. But as a project, what we had done as a JCPS cluster, not as a Department of Justice, was to do an age analysis of the people who are sitting in remand detention in this current period. What is the age analysis? And I think the longest serving person there was about 6 years or 6.5 years or so. And what the JCPS cluster project is doing is to say, at minimum, let's prioritize those, and there's a specific project. Unfortunately, I can't speak about the outcomes since the project has started. What I can do is we can produce a written report on the outcomes of that project as soon as possible to the Honourable House. I do not have the progress on that as we speak. And then the one thing I really want to speak to, Chair, is one, and then I will shut up forever. Okay. The slowness of the TPF payments. All along, we've been saying we are paying. Once we have your money, we've checked the schedule and everything is correct, we pay between 24 hours and 48 hours. And indeed, we have been doing that. Most payments have been done within that period. However, for the past 6 months or so, the system dropped quite significantly. It didn't drop because we did anything wrong necessarily. It dropped because it's now overloaded. Our VPN network is very thin, and therefore it's overloaded. And there is the engagement I said earlier. We have engaged CETA, and only about a week ago we received a letter saying that they approved that we roll back the system back to Telkom. Let me explain what that means. In before 2010 and up until 2010, our VPN, we were buying it from Telkom, and therefore everything was working perfect. Then, but in terms of the contract we had had with CETA, we were going to revert back to CETA, which we agreed, we owned our part of the bargain, and we reverted back to CETA in 2010. Since we went back to CETA, the system got loaded.
Because I know some of you may be wanting to go to the airport.
Okay, thank you very much. We are very happy.
Let's move to the next.
All right.
I guess you are prepared to provide the information.
Okay, we will provide it, Chair. It's just that we don't want, when you go public, that you don't know what happens, and that's the only reason. The last issue, Chair, is the question around the gender focal points that was raised earlier, which we did not respond to. We do have a gender unit in the Department of Justice, but it's very thin in capacity. And we've recently attempted to form some committees to assist the gender unit so that we can have better reach. But it has been doing a lot of work around checking whether the equality courts are accessible, are working, and we are expecting a report to come through soon, as well as looking at our policies, whether they are gender sensitive. They do look at domestic violence, they do look at maintenance, they do look at those things in the court environment. I just thought it's important that you know that it does exist within the broader gender machinery of government. It's just that obviously the span of work is quite great.
Leave it there. And let's go to the briefing, the next briefing.
Actually, if we could have the indulgence, the Honourable House had requested us to do the two quarter reports for the current year. The last quarter report, which is the one that we must be finalising now, is currently going through our governance structures, and I'm quite uncomfortable to presenting something that it's still going through the approval processes. But the first quarter report is already here, and we have circulated it. The second quarter report is likely to still change here and there, but if the Honourable House prefers it, I would rather do the first quarter report.
That I think such a situation arose before.
Okay.
And that's how we dealt with it. We don't want to present something and it changes later.
All right. Chairperson, I won't present the whole thing. I'll just give you the highlights. In that slide, this now comes from the main report, not from the presentation. From the main report, you will see that in program one, you have bigger red than you have green, and I would like to explain that. And in program two, it's better, and in program three, it's even more better. And then in program five, we're doing good. The reason why in program one we have more red than we have a green is because there is underperformance in specific areas. Those specific areas of underperformance are in the ICT environment, in the ICMS development. During this, and this is where the slide is, during this period, we had a lot of capacity challenges in ISM. We had planned to have a particular number of people who were going to deliver these projects. there was we had a hiccup, a big hiccup in terms of bringing those people during this period, and therefore the projects were delayed. But those people have since joined the department, and the projects are ongoing, and we do believe that by year end we will be able to finalize these projects. That's the only explanation, Chairperson. And insofar as 4.2, the third party funds, as I had indicated, it was delayed at CETA at that particular point in time, but CETA has finalized its part. We are doing the contracting part, so the performance may not improve somewhat in quarter two and quarter three, but hopefully by quarter four we should be fine in relation to that. Okay. Then Chairperson, I'd like to also speak to these other areas. In terms of grievances, the grievances we were doing okay, but Honourable Chairperson, insofar as the rest of the areas, as you can see that they are red, we were affected by two things in the main. We were affected by the elections because they happened during this period, and all the changes that happened during that, they take a lot of time from us from the supporting point of view, from the support staff point of view that supports the political leadership. When they leave and when they come in, and so we spend a lot of time doing that. As a result, a lot of other areas suffer. Safe to say, in item 5.4, as the Honourable Member was talking about the training, that our training is down, that observation is correct, and indeed there we also had a migration of lecturers leaving Justice College quite significant a number, and as a result that is why we were not able to train. So we've rejuggled and our training, we are catching up, and by quarter three we would have caught up completely with that area of performance. Those, I think, are the major reds. We have a few others, but those are the major reds. Let me then talk about the TRC issue. In the TRC environment, the needs analysis completed. We had planned to complete 6 needs analyses in 6 areas. Was it 6? We were able to complete the needs analysis at 8, and we were able to. No, I think it was 6. And but from a target point of view, it was 2. At that particular point in time, we had not completed. But since then, we have completed needs analysis in 6 communities, which is why we are having a logjam with our colleagues in Kulumani and their affiliates. Chairperson, in Paia, we are on track. We were on track then, we are on track now. We think we will be on track towards the end. In JCPS cluster reports, we are on track. I can assure this house we are doing great in that environment. Perhaps just in court services, Chairperson, I won't go through the numbers. In court services, Chairperson, it's the function of the case backlogs that we spoke about a little earlier. At that point in time, we were behind in terms of our target, but in this environment, we do believe that we will be able to meet our year-end targets in the backlog environment. This is one of the areas, Chairperson, as well, that is going to be moving to the OCJ in the new financial year. Then in maintenance, as Honourable Chair can see, the 10.1 and 10.2, we are on track. We were on track in quarter one. We are on track now. I think in quarter two we will be on track. And then number of re-established sexual offences completed, courts completed. We were supposed to have completed 2. We were not able to complete 2, and it was just in the question of furniture that was not delivered on time. Otherwise, the court's work was already done. It was just the furniture that we were not able to deliver on time. That has since been finalized. On this slide, Chair, we will pass because everything is fine. Everything is fine in the next one as well, and the next one. so I'm not going to talk on those. You can trust me, Chair. Percentage of funded vacancies, Chairperson, for OCJ, this indicator, Chair, we are amending our APP because we've handed over to the OCJ for the balance of the year. They will then report on the balance of the year for their own vacancies going forward. We will pass, therefore. In the master's environment, Chairperson, this year I think it's going to be very tight. Each year we track what letters were issued in what period. In this particular period, we were not able to meet the target. As you can see, our target was 91%. We only met 88%, performed 88% of the time. We do believe that we will meet these targets by year end, even perhaps by quarter two, we should be able to meet these targets going forward. But the report we will circulate as soon as it has been approved. I'm going to just go and focus on 15.6 on letters of authority. This one, Chairperson, we struggled a bit throughout the year last year, and during this quarter we are down. We had performed 71% compared to 92%, which is what. But we do believe that we will meet the target at year end. It was a function of capacity rather. Briefs, Chairperson, we are slightly underperforming on briefs, but we are not worried about the 2%. We do believe we will meet the 2% shortfall, perhaps not in the next quarter, but in by end of financial year, because we've put interventions of catching up in the state attorney's environment. By the way, Chairperson, we were requested by our minister to combine a detailed, which we had provided this Honourable House 2 years ago, a detailed analysis of briefings to counsel that and attorneys that we had done for the year. So we will provide that report as soon as we've provided it to the minister. We are fine there. We are fine there. Extraditions, we are struggling a bit with extraditions. We have a little bit of a bigger influx in terms of work on extraditions, but we do believe that by quarter three we should have caught up. We have not been able to meet the 25-day span, but we are processing them. So it's not as if they are not done, but because of the volumes, we are not doing them all within the timelines that we thought we would. The rules, we will be done, Chair. I think, though, by year end, we will not have met all the 7 rules because there are a number of policy discussions that are being done between ourselves and the Rules Board. But we will meet quarterly targets for the third quarter. But I don't think at the end of the year all of those issues would have been resolved. There are no targets for those because the targets are more towards the end of the year. The rest are fine, Chair. This is now Program 5. Program 5, Chair, as I had indicated in the beginning, all of it is green because we are on track. This is an integrated criminal justice system. Thank you very much, Chair. That is it.
Honorable Horn, you don't have to put your questions in writing. You can speak out.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Once more, the presentation is appreciated. May I kindly ask through you, Honorable Chair, briefings to council. How many were women in that regard? How many? And then in terms of funded vacancies, that slide, I couldn't get it clearly. Yes. Even if you can clarify that again on the issue of, you made mention of something like Justice College lecturers, and there was a bit of reddish. Yes. So even that one, if you may, you may untake it. But generally, personally, I'm very much impressed by the presentation. Thank you. And then at what percentage of the budget are you now, if I may ask, spending?
The money lady will tell you the spending.
Okay.
But, Chairperson, perhaps if I can, just trying to check how many. Okay. Chairperson, allow me to provide in writing for both quarters how many of the briefings went to women attorneys and advocates. We will provide that in writing. Then, insofar as Justice College is concerned, we were indeed behind with training. We had a number of content lecturers, the ones that are training on actual issues of law. A lot of them left when the changes happened between migrating to the Office of the Chief Justice, because then some of the trainers were supposed to migrate to the SAJI, yes. So that's the point. And now what we have to build again from scratch, and that is the real reason. Now, in terms of vacancies, this just shows that we were not able to appoint, the slide that you saw, we were not able to appoint people on time as we had planned to appoint them. And that is why you will see that we are red for that quarter. There. But I can almost tell you now that we've brought in quite a number of people in the last 2 months or so. So those numbers for the next quarter performance, which is quarter two, should look a lot better.
The budget is at 40% at this stage.
Before we close, you used to have what is called Forum Against Racism. You used to have something called Forum Against Racism in the department. And if you look at what is happening at universities with young people, and those young people were born in the 90s. So when you talk about apartheid, they don't know what you're talking about. And then they do things which would be horrible. And now you want to blame them, but we have not taught them anything. And we say we want to build a socially cohesive society. Now, unless we address those things, how are we going to build it? Now, I say this because I haven't had any explanation why that forum has been closed down, and now you have the South African Human Rights Commission holding public hearings on racism. If you have a public hearing, it will be accusations and counter-accusations, and that brings nothing. But if you have a forum where you engage these young people, teach them, get them to debate about these things, I think we can achieve more than saying we are going to have public hearings, because you just hear the same things. So the second thing is, I think you spoke about a project on alternative justice, which was also, you promised that we would have a report on that and see how we can build, use that to build on this paralegal public community justice. And I think this community justice will really help access to justice. Because you see, we value the work that civil society organizations are doing, like the ones that were here. But some of us don't believe that you can build an organization in Cape Town, in the city center of Cape Town, and say you will reach out to Mpumalanga, you will reach out to Kuruman. You know, those who know say people are their own liberators. Throughout the country, there are unemployed graduates. There are community leaders who can set up advice centers and who also speak the language of the communities where they are and really find solutions, local solutions, other than importing people from Johannesburg or Durban, sending them to Vembe and that type of thing. I think we're delaying ourselves. So if we can try and speed up this thing, I think we need to come up with legislation on these paralegals, that we start that process, and then also just see if that forum against racism doesn't really need money. If it has, you just facilitate, you can go to universities and get it happening there. But there has to be a dialogue on things like racism and so on. The last thing is the question of, I was going to say that forum against racism can actually deal also with this question of constitutional literacy. We consciously get the people to understand this constitution and how it works. The last thing is the traditional courts bill. I don't think we should have the situation we had with the legal practice bill take another 10 years. I think we must take the bull by its horns, bring this thing back. If there is a fight, let's fight. And those who lose the fight, let them accept that the will of the majority shall prevail. Because even in that case, I support women's rights, Honorable Majed. But you see, I have a difficulty where women from the city center who are self-professed feminists will speak for ordinary women who are the majority and who look at things through their culture, and the cultures are respected by the constitution. So I think we should reach a stage where we say, let's not intimidate one another, but let's emancipate the voice of everybody and then take a decision after that. Thank you.
The issue of TRC and the information that has been made public, I think we need to maybe request that we meet with Kulumani. And was it with the Foundation for Human Rights?
Mm. No, it's Kulumani together with a whole coalition on transitional justice and legal resources center.
Okay, but you can call them anyway, because it's as if one of the reports was coming from...
Three of them?
Yes.
Let's come and talk.
Yes, right.
I think this brings us to the end, and thank you very much. Each time I see on papers that the Department of Justice is coming here, I become excited, because I know that we are going to be educated, we are going to learn about the progress, good progress being made, and keep up the good work.
James. DOJ.
LOU.
That's done. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.